Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Melissa Bilardi, your host on Help for HD. We are a new online talk show all about HD, all for the HD community. Our show is broadcast live every Monday at 3:30 p.m. PST, that's California time, and we record the show for later listening or podcast. I'd like to thank Lundbeck, Inc., who brings us Cenazine, the first drug to treat chorea associated with Huntington's disease. Their charitable donation will allow us to keep broadcasting each week and upgrade our computer network. Thank you. Thank you, Arvind Sriharan, and he's the Director of Marketing, and Daniel Brennan, he's VP GM of Neurology Franchise at Lundbeck. Thank you for your continued support and generosity. I'd also like to recognize a very special person living on the other side of the U.S. Who has been a great sounding board and advisor to the show, BJ View, my producer. Thank you for helping me with the show. I don't know if you're with us tonight, but I want to thank you for that. Our goal for Help for HD is to bring you incredible special guests every Monday who will offer interesting, innovative, and inspirational information. Our vision is to reach people all over the world who may benefit from listening. So please send this link to all your friends and family and ask them to click follow. You may call in to ask our guest a question on these two phone numbers, 310-982-4227, and our toll-free number is 877-497-4103. Our special guest tonight is a very dynamic, passionate HD advocate from Atlanta, Georgia, whom I've been admiring for a while. She has an unpretentious tenacity to take on this HD thing and fight like a banshee with no fear. I have to say that her energy and dedication is something to be admired. Kimberly Gibson is founder of the Faith and Hope Society, is also HD positive, and knows all too well the evolution of HD. We're going to talk about her nonprofit organization, how she got started, and what are her plans for the new year. She has some new and innovative features on her website, too, which is very exciting. Welcome to Help for HD. Kimberly, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm awesome. So tell us, how are you connected to HD, and when did you first learn about it?
I learned about Huntington's disease when I was about, well, probably beforehand, but my first memory was when I was four. My grandfather was in the middle stages when I was about 4 years old. And, you know, I was with my grandmother most of the time when my mother worked and went to school and did things. So she was his full-time caregiver, and I started feeding him and bathing him and spending time with him at a very young age. And I knew the word Huntington's disease. It was a familiar word, but I didn't at that time know the full spectrum of what that meant for me and what it was going to mean in the future.
So you've been around it all your life.
All my life, 38
what
years.
What was it like in your family? Because you mentioned something about your family has a denial, had some denial in it. And how are they handling HD now?
I would say, you know, I've given a lot of thought to tonight's show and what I was going to say about denial and my family. And initially, anger was the first feeling, you know. But I've thought about it a lot, especially over the last few days. And I think that the denial that all of us experience in this community is also a lack of information. I think it's denial of the illness, of course, because, you know, how could you possibly face it completely every minute of every day? I don't think that's possible. It's so huge. It's so overwhelming. But I think that also, you know, lack of information makes denial compounded. Lack of support from your community makes denial more compounded. People get deeper into isolation and fear and loneliness, and all those things start to compound on top of each other. You know, we're in an amazing era for Huntington's disease now. It's the, if you will, the Oprah Winfrey era, where everyone is, quote, coming out about everything. So, you know, it's perfect for us because people in our generation, younger than me even, are just wearing tattoos and putting it all over their Facebook page and talking about it to everybody. I was stunned last year. Yeah, I was stunned last year when I first went on and started looking about it, because I had not looked. I had not wanted to even look at Huntington's disease. I wanted a break, And then when I went on the internet and I found all this stuff, I was like, oh my God, all these people are talking about it? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's amazing for everybody. But my family today, I would say the most proactive, open person in my family is the person that's in the late stages of Huntington's disease, my stepmother, my aunt / stepmother. I, like so many other people who had a parent with Huntington's, had to go live with another family member, which was my mother's sister. And she was very positive and proactive and still is. All the other members of my family, I think, are terrified to face reality. Mm-hmm. And everybody chooses a different tact of doing so. For my mother, alcoholic. Alcohol. My biological mother, and you know, it's a hard thing to deal with a family that doesn't want to talk about it or be proactive or advocate. You know, I was a little excited at first. I thought, oh, me and my family can all do the Faith and Hope Society, and it can be our project and our thing, and we would be a team and be really strong. And I was craving that connection, mm-hmm. and I didn't receive that same type
but you found
of excitement back.
Help you.
Yeah, I found an amazing Huntington's family in the Huntington community, and I've been overwhelmed with the love that I've received from, especially from women, and then James Valvano. I found a wonderful, compassionate friend in James.
Yeah, we'd
James
like to
Valvano.
Have him on the show, so we're going to ask him to be on the show too.
he's out there listening, so I have to.
I
what
didn't.
Do? Do they give props to people? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Or a shout out? Hey, I'm shouting out to James Valvano.
Yeah, we've already kind of chatted a little bit on the Facebook about that. So, hey, James, 17th, we're looking to have you on the show. What do you think?
I think he'll be up for it. He's
okay.
Dying. He's chomping at the bit to get it to be heard out there.
That's great. So what brought you to start your organization? Just that whole family dynamic?
Well, it was several things. I'm a mother of two. I have a little girl that's about to be 6, and I have another little girl that's 10 and a half. And, you know, I grew up with a biological mother who had, she was one of the small percentage of the Huntington's community that had schizophrenia and very severe psychological side effects. And I grew up thinking that she was crazy and that she didn't love me, and no one counteracted that belief or talked to me constructively about Huntington's or how. Nobody ever even asked me, how do you feel? That question was never even posed to me. How do you feel, Kim, about your mother having Huntington's? Never.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted more than anything was a supportive community for them to see their mother being positive and other people being positive and Huntington's being addressed in a more healthy, positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And
and
also growing up with her having that, there was not anyone I could talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought maybe with this group we could meet people, we could do positive things for people, we could uplift people and have a central location where we talked about what other people in the community were doing.
Yes,
and,
having
and have
a positive
people know.
Frame to work from.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, every family meets with tragedy, and us more than others, and us more than some, and some more than us, but no matter what a person goes through, how it's handled, I think, makes all the difference in the world of the outcome. And for me, the denial and the lack of information and the way that it was handled, the fallout was pretty bad for my mother, my biological mother. She ended up homeless. She was emotionally and physically abandoned with this illness. And she had to go through Huntington's alone. And I grew up resentful and angry, and there was so much anger and just negativity and hurt, you know, just so much hurt.
And look how far you've come. You've just come through it. with a positive attitude and you're an amazing person.
Thanks. I just think that, you know, that it really can be different than that. If things are done differently, there's anything can be handled in a different way. And with the right amount of support and love and effort, it can be different for all of us.
Now, your girls are 6 and 10. Are they aware yet of what is happening?
No. I don't think that I need to ramp up the day that they find out about this.
Right.
I could be right, I could be wrong, I don't know. You know, being one that has known about it my whole life, my first knee-jerk reaction is to protect them from it, you know.
Right. But having the positive attitude that you do, it can only be better for them than it was for you growing up, you know.
Yeah.
I think you're on track and you're doing a great job. I'm really proud to know you.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah. So now
I'm really, really impressed with all that you've done.
Oh, thank you. Tell us about your website. Your website is www.faithandhopesociety.org.
Right.
And you have a email.
We do.
What is your email?
faithandhopehuntingtons@gmail.com. On our website, there is a page called Contact Us, and there's, you know, every possible way to contact us is on there. We want to be available to people in the community, and we want to hear about their stories. We want to hear what they're doing in the community. We want to know what their needs are. We want to be readily available for people. One thing that I did want to share that I thought was important, and I put in my notes here, is I know that the word test, getting tested, is such a scary monster under the bed, monster in the closet kind of thing, and it was that way for me too.
Yeah, let me just break in real quick, and then after I get done with my little spiel, then let's talk about that, because I have that on my list too. I know you want to talk about testing. We can talk about the benefits and what are the drawbacks.
Great, because it relates to my website.
What I wanted to do, about halfway through the show, I like to break in and tell people you're listening to Help for HD. I'm your host,
Absolutely.
Melissa Bilardi. And our special guest tonight is Kimberly Gibson, founder of the Faith and Hope Society. And you may call in to ask her questions on these two phone numbers. So please don't be afraid to do that. It's a little scary, I know, but it we won't bite you, I promise. And the phone numbers the phone numbers are 310-982-4227, and our toll free number is 877-497-4103. And Kimberly is the Faith and Hope Society website at www.faithandhopesociety.org. And we're talking with Kimberly now. And Kimberly, we're talking about testing, and I know that's kind of a controversial subject because some people like to get tested, some people don't. So let's talk about that. What do you think about testing?
Well, you know, I'm absolutely not going to be black and white about it because I do think it's a personal thing. But what I would like to see in the coming years is that the idea of testing turning into something more proactive and positive and being looked at as a more proactive, positive thing. I look back now that I've been on Lexapro and my medications for a year and I've gone through the myriad of different emotions, coming on the other side of that, I wish that I had done this 10 years ago. I think that looking back, I suffered a lot of emotional consequences that I didn't have to. And, you know, personally for myself, when my kids talked to me about it, I wanted to be looked at as a more positive and proactive thing that they can do and to start addressing their Huntington's and to not get wrong diagnosis or to think that something's wrong with them or to suffer. I suffered from horrible anxiety attacks in the past and depression.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Kind
Uh-huh. Yeah, and now that they're finding out that we have those symptoms a long time before the movement,
right.
I think that people can start to look at testing in a more positive light. I also was terrified of finding out that mm-hmm. that was going to be my fate, and I still am. There's, you know, I still struggle and cry and grieve. A lot of my plans have been changed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's for sure. That's putting
right.
it mildly. but you know, the Faith and Hope Society's birth came out of that that up and down emotions. You know, I mean, I went through the anger, the grieving, the suicidal thoughts, the denial,
mm-hmm.
and then all the way back around. And
mm-hmm.
there's really, for me, there was only a few choices. I can either, you know, sit with this and wait until the day I die, or I can actually get up off my butt and start doing something great. And
uh-huh.
I was like, you know, I really wanted to do something great. And my kids were the motivation for that, which I think is amazing that your son was your motivation for doing something so great too, you know. Moms are amazing. Let's applaud moms.
We are on a mission, aren't we?
Moms are great.
Moms
and,
on a mission.
Right? And I think kids can really push you to be something way beyond what you think you can be. And that's what keeps me getting up and putting my feet on the ground every day is my children. I really don't know what I would do without them. But
what are
you
the
know,
drawbacks of testing, do you think? The employment, insurance?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Well, I was all into my own plans.
Yeah.
And they were all quite self-centered now that I look back at it as all what I wanted to do. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was going to be rich and I was going to be famous and I was going to be found out and I was going to do all this stuff. But now I'm stuck doing all this service work. The drawbacks of being tested, I mean, I was speaking, it's funny you bring that up because I was on Skype this evening with James. And I said one of the saddest things was I was so emotionally unprepared to get tested.
Mm-hmm.
It was not something that was ever talked about around the dinner table with my family, and nobody ever said to me, so, you know, how would you handle it if you had this, or have you considered getting tested? And 20 years of therapy and $40,000 later, nobody ever still talked to me about Huntington's. So
right.
when I got
like
my...
we need to
mm-hmm.
have more psychology people that are available, neuropsychologists that are available for our Huntington's people, even before they test, because, you know, if it's in the family, it needs to be addressed somehow.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's nobody in a family of Huntington's that's not affected one way or another.
Right.
There's no one. When Huntington's is in a family, it's a family disease. It's not
it
just
is.
My disease. When I got diagnosed, it wasn't just me that got diagnosed. It was
right.
me and my children
of
that
course.
Got diagnosed.
And, also
and I think that
that's. Your friends.
Your my friends, but it's. Yeah, but especially me
you.
And my kids.
Of course.
Yeah, everybody's affected, but mm-hmm. not just one person gets diagnosed. And so the drawbacks are, you know, I've sat in my kids' room at night and watched them sleep and cried
mm-hmm.
because I had particular expectations for their life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And those have changed. And I don't really like the language that my life is shattered or that my life is over or that my kids' lives are over because I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my life has just changed
mm-hmm.
and their life has just changed. Who knows what God's plan is and if it's for better or for worse, it's not for me to say. But, you know, when I got diagnosed being so emotionally unprepared, I was suicidal
mm-hmm.
and my friends had to be on suicide watch.
Right.
And all I could think of for a life for me was to die. I couldn't see anything beyond that.
How did you pull yourself out of that? Because
I don't think I did. I think my friends did.
You're dealing with it every day, right? I mean, it's not something that really leaves your mind.
It has now.
Yeah.
I would say after the initial shock
mm-hmm.
and the initial thing, I think I told you before, my stepmother told me to go buy bubbles and take my kids to the park. And I said, I'm talking to you here about suicide, Mom, and you're telling
yeah.
me to go buy bubbles. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm thinking, she's crazy. She's 23 years into Huntington's. She has no idea what she's saying, and I was so tempted to say, you don't understand how I feel. And I caught myself halfway through that sentence, and I said, okay, I'll go get the stupid bubble. I did not understand what she was saying, and when I went to the park with them and I was blowing the bubbles and they were laughing and popping the bubbles and hugging me, I realized had I killed myself just a day before, I would have missed that moment.
Exactly.
And I don't want to miss that moment.
Right.
I don't anymore. So, you know,
so
between...
you're building memories with your girls.
I am.
Good memories.
I think that we become more grateful also when you get a diagnosis, like any diagnosis for any illness. I think that there's a beauty in that knowledge that no one else can ever experience. There is an absolute beauty in knowing that all I have is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're forced into the present moment, you know? It's an instantaneous shot of Zen. All these other people are paying for yoga, and really all you need is a terminal diagnosis.
Sure. What do you think is going to be different for your girls?
Well, I'm learning from so many amazing people that have gone before me, Claudia Gordon, Cindy Dupree, James Valvano, Jane Mervar and her children. I'm learning from them and from my friends on Facebook and from myself how to handle things and how to talk to them and how to face this, because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, this is my first round going with this. So I think that just being more open and more aware and being more willing to talk about it, this will make a difference for them.
Yep. What do you think the HD community needs more of? And what's your agenda for the Faith and Hope Society for the next year, for the new year?
We really want to start promoting, we're going to be doing a lot of talking and blogging about testing and about psychological effects prior to symptoms. We are also doing we have a cause on Facebook for police discrimination. We're going to be going forward with that, with raising awareness about police discrimination and, you know, authority figures, ER people, stuff like that, just to try to raise awareness.
It's all about education, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I think as a community, we have the ability to reach out and even call and ask the police station, can we go in and talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to give us just 30 minutes to talk about this? Because in this time, right now, right in this moment, they're not going to come and knock on anybody else's door and say, hey, we really want to know about Huntington. Can
it's
you
really
tell
up
us?
To us? It's up to
it
us.
Is.
Yeah.
And I think that if we plant the seeds, we don't know what will happen. We have no idea what we could make happen. And I've seen such amazing things over just the last year. There was Becky Rose and her little girl. They got all that press coverage on the TV and on the news. And, I mean, juvenile Huntington's
Edwards.
Even more in Kathleen Edwards, even more in the dark. And look what they did, know?
Yeah.
And they didn't know when they started out that it was going to blossom. And I just think that we just have to step out and beyond ourselves and beyond our fears and beyond what we've already learned in the past. And anything is better than nothing. Doing anything is better than doing nothing.
I think today's technology, we can really kind of expand on all of that with, you know, with our blogging and our Facebooking and our online radio show and just, you know, there's so much technology now that we can utilize to help our cause.
We are really, really blessed to have this because it's amazing what we're already doing, you know? I mean, it was such a lonely illness for so long, and here I am on the phone with you and talking to all these people about this. And I mean, for so long, families, I mean, until I was 36, I had never even met another person with Huntington's disease.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it existed in other families, I never had experienced meeting another family.
We found out James, my son James, was HD positive, and I had no idea where to go, or, you know, there was no one around that I could talk to. Even the neurologist basically said, well, he has HD, there's no cure, and he'll die from it. That's basically all he said. Well, I didn't take that personally, but I thought, you know, we need some education around here.
Absolutely. And in the next coming year, we're going to try to set up some different programs and try to find out where the need is. We're not out there trying to compete with any other organization.
Oh, of course not, yeah.
We just want to fill in the gaps and focus.
Let's all work together, you know.
I will say this before the show ends. My favorite woman and I guess the closest thing to an idol that I ever have, there's two of them. One is my stepmom, who is 23 years into Huntington's and fallen on her butt and still has more grace than anyone I've ever met.
Wow.
And the other person is Mother Teresa. And, you know, she talks all the time about, people will say to her, well, how in the world did you go out there and do all this amazing stuff? And when you look at it, it looks like she reached both of her arms out and scooped up the whole world and mixed it all up and shook sugar and cinnamon and everything nice on top of it and put it back.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She says it was just one and then one and then one and then one.
Yeah.
And what she's saying is she took each person's hands and addressed that person's need and loved each person one at a time. And that was the way she looked at it, one at a time. And so we have tried to really stand on that same kind of idea and say, well, let's, you know, lift up one person at a time. Let's connect with one person at a time and fill one need at a time, because there's no way that we can solve apartheid in Africa and the war in Venezuela and, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
the issues around Huntington's disease, when you look at the whole thing, all I want to do is get in bed and pull the covers over my head.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say to myself, what one thing can I do right now? Is there something manageable and reasonable that I can do right now?
Mm-hmm.
And there is, you know, there always is. And so that's kind of how we're going to address it. And
that's
we're
great.
Just learning as we go, just like everybody else. And, like, I loved what you said when I first talked to you. You said, I'm just a mom out here trying to do something good. And you are. That's the thing. You just didn't know what you were doing, and you just knew that you wanted to do it, and so you did. And you get right, and you can't get caught in, well, what if it doesn't work, or what if I'm not an expert?
But what if
and,
it does?
Yeah, because, you know, we've had several failures, and it probably will fail a few times. And,
of course.
You know, you'll have a bad show, or you'll say something that makes somebody mad, but you're still out there doing something good. And so that's all we do. That's all I do.
Well, I love the attitude, and that's, you know, your attitude can get you so far in life. And if you think positive and do positive things, you know, it's only going to be good all the way around. That's all I can say. We've got about a minute left on the show. Is there anything specific that you wanted to leave with our audience tonight?
I'm just grateful to be on the show, and I'm grateful for all the love that I get on my Facebook, my Faith and Hope Facebook page, and that people actually think that I'm doing something good.
So how,
you know,
can
that makes that really warms my heart when people tell me thank you, or that they love me, and I love them back. I just want to tell everybody that I do love them back.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you can reach Kimberly at thefaithandhopesociety.org, and you can reach me at helpforhd@yahoo.com. We have some incredible shows coming up in January with Gina Becker, Lisa Kerr, Daniel Brennan, and I'm hoping that we get James here this next
month. I'll get James here.
So I just thank you, Kimberly, for this amazing show tonight. You are an inspiration, and I'll be watching you. And I wish
thank you for having me.
I wish everybody a happy new year, and we'll talk to everybody next year. We have one more show in December. No, we don't. We have one more show. Our next show is in January. I'm sorry, the 3rd. And Gina Marie Becker will be on our show January 3rd. So we're wrapping up December. We'll talk next year for sure. So everyone, thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk soon.
So, thanks again for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. This has been a great show. It seems like 30 minutes just it doesn't
flies
go
by.
Very far. You know, it doesn't go very far, but it's enough, I think, to give people something to think about, something to take back to their friends and family, and kind of hash around, revisit. You know, I listen to the shows off and on, over and over too. There's a lot of stuff that you miss when you're doing a show. You know, you're actually the host of a show. You're always thinking one step ahead. Okay, what's my next question or whatever?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you don't really get to listen to what you're talking about as much as you are when you go back and revisit the show. So I like to re-listen to the shows. And I'm
excited
to
re-listen to it, too.
I'm happy to know that you're going to be putting a page on your website. That's great.
Yeah, we started it, but we
had... look at my blog?
Where would they be?
It's on blogspot.com. It's hdsgcc.blogspot.com. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, no, I have not.
If you just go to the blogtalkradio.com/helpforHD, I think there's a link on there, too, to the blog. But what I do is I kind of cross-reference the blog and the Facebook and the Twitter and then the Help for HD show on Blog Talk Radio. Trying to kind of keep it in a loop so that, you know, eventually we'll get people. If we don't get people on Facebook, we'll get them on the blog. If we don't get them on the blog, vice versa. And then almost 900 people got an invitation to this show tonight. So we may, you know, we didn't have any callers, but that's okay because we'll end up having, archive listeners. And those add up, you know, they... week, 2 weeks.
I just got a whole bunch of comments on my Facebook page if you want to know.
Oh, good. Okay,
Jonathan Monkemeyer, do you know him? He would be a great person.
I know the name.
He's real active with the scientists and with the community. That might be a good person. He's on my page if you just look. If you go on it later and just look, he's the second person that commented.
Okay.
And if you look all at the stuff he's done, he is really, really active, and a great speaker, too. He speaks very well. But he wrote, awesome show, Kimberly. You are a wonderful inspiration. Thank you, and we all love you. Lauren Holder wrote stuff. You did awesome, girl.
Oh,
I love
great.
You. Mike Fakera, Kim, you did an awesome job. Loved everything you said, and you are the inspiration for people with HD. Mm-hmm. I feel you can get people in no time to feel and be positive just like you. God bless you, Kim. Did we have people listening in, or?
Well, this is being recorded still, so we'll find out. I'll find out what the stats are after the show, and I'll find out in a week or two is when the archive listeners really start adding up, because a lot of people may not be able to tune in at that specific time. Maybe they're driving, maybe they're somewhere else, or they're working, and so they'll tune in. They'll go to the site and they'll listen to the archive shows, and that's when the numbers really start racking up. So I think people are still a little leery of getting on the phone and or getting onto a live show, but they're okay with going to an archive show and listening and kind of, you know, digesting what is being said.
Oh, I'm so excited. My Facebook is piling up.
Oh, that's
Claudia
awesome.
Gordon, love each person one at a time. One person at a time. What one thing can I do for someone right now? Kim, yes, you are an inspiration with many gifts and talents. Thanks for sharing, giving, and being a blessing in our lives. Great going, girl.
Great.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Okay, well, we're doing good
Thank
stuff.
Thank you.
So let's end the show, and we'll talk again maybe in the next day or two, and I'll talk to James. James, we're talking about you. Your ears are ringing, I'm sure. And,
oh, my goodness, I forgot we were still doing the show. Oh, my goodness.
That's okay.
I'm so
that's
sorry.
Okay.
I was so excited and nervous.
No, that's okay.
I'm like, goof.
But we'll
I'm
talk
sorry
to
about
James
that.
About doing the show on the 17th, and you and he can come on and we can get really into the nitty-gritty of your website and also a little bit more about what your organization is doing, because we didn't really get to talk about that. So we need to kind of continue that on and let people know what you're up to with your organization, because you're doing some really great stuff.
Thank you, and so are you, and thank you for sharing all
that. But, you know, we'll get you again. So,
all right, awesome. I will let him know about the 17th.
Okay, so we'll talk
to you again.
Again, thank you, Kim. You're an inspiration and a wonderful person, so I'm really looking forward to a long-term friendship, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
No, and I messed up because she was still recording.